State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Yep, ghetto boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. I'm cold and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all. Ghetto Boys in the house. Back with another episode of information and instructions to help you navigate through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio, Marcus Wiley.
What it do?
A.K.A. Bishop Second.
He did, Willie D.
He did?
I killed him.
You killed him?
Why the moment, we got fired,
Why you killed him? Bishop Second, man? You should have took the show on the road, man.
I should have, but I really wasn't into social media at the time.
Yeah.
Because back then, the radio stations wouldn't allow their personalities to use social media. Because they looked at it like they didn't want you getting bigger than them. Not things reversed. They need you to do it to promote their stuff.
Right.
But this one, it was kind of fresh. It was kind of new. So we would get banned and fined for social media. So I just kind of separated myself from social media from Jump Street.
Yeah.
Now, had I been thinking, I would have took, you know, Bishop Secular and made him something that I probably could have did on social media.
I think you should still just resurrect Bishop Secular just because it's such a dope idea.
Yeah.
It's such a great character.
Yeah.
somebody's going to do it.
For sure.
It may as well be you, because I think you would be really pissed if somebody came up with that and you was, and put that out there. And you, because I know some other people have seen your routine.
For sure.
And they've seen that. They're like, yeah, that's dope. Yeah. That's dope.
And a lot of people ask. A lot of people, you know, say the same thing you just said. But I think my problem with it was that, you know, once upon a time, Bishop Sekler was bigger than Marcus D. Wiley. And I would go show up and do shows as Marcus D. Wiley, as me. And people would be like,
where
Bishop Sekler at? I'm like, I am Bishop Sekler, bro. And so I was really ready to kill him because he was kind of overshadowing me, you know, a little bit. And my bills don't come in Bishop Sekler.
Right.
They come in Marcus D. Wiley. And so, you know, that's why I cut him loose.
Well, what about bringing him back in animated form? That'd be dope.
Yeah, now that'd be dope. Yeah. If I had the right people, you know,
Connected. Come on, man. You connected. Man, I saw you be working with Fox.
Yeah.
Working with William Morris. Got a deal over there. Are you still with Snapchat? You still work with them?
No. All that's over.
But still, man, you move around.
I do a little something, but you know, a lot of that stuff is fluff. I mean, you know, you've been in the business a long time. People associate you with stuff, but you ain't in the way it suggests you in, if I may say it that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So
you wasn't in to make the decisions.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
The power side.
Yeah. You know, it just looked good, but it wasn't what it was.
Well, you know, shit, man. You still got to use. You still have the right to lay claim the association.
For sure, no doubt. So I'm connected a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You and Yolanda, y'all still connect?
We just left lunch.
Yeah?
Yeah, Jess was at lunch eating. She told me to tell you what's up, too. Because I said I had to come kick it with you.
Hello, Yolanda. Salute to Yolanda, Jones.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Yeah, but we still,
Yolanda,
you know.
Adams is, man, that's, ooh, man.
Oh yeah, she major.
She's something else.
You know, she on that show, Not Kingdom Business. And they just got picked up for their second season and just got green lit for their third season. It's a series that come on BET Plus, and then it falls on BET. Mm-hmm. And so, she working on that. But, you know, she got some new music, all that's coming out. So we was talking about the tour and, you know, all this old different stuff.
How long did y'all do that morning show?
10 years. Yolanda Adams morning show, 10
rude,
years.
Rude the airways for 10 years.
For 10 years.
What happened?
Yolanda was too big for him, bro. And at the end of the day, they
didn't want to pay?
Of course they didn't want to pay. But, you know, women get a bad rap. So Yolanda's a boss, right? And
cannot be a boss on that level.
And right.
Yeah.
So she a boss, and the stuff that they wanted her to do, and she would turn it down. Oh, I'm not doing that. You know, if it didn't make money, you know, wasn't making sense to her type of thing. She wasn't about to be used and pimped and all that type of stuff. And they didn't like that. You know, most times, they want to control everything. They want to control the person and all that. And so it just ran its course. So when it got to the 10 years, the contract was up. And we kind of knew they weren't going to renew it, you know, because they didn't want to kind of deal with a boss.
Yeah, in Yolanda. Because that kind of hurts business.
Yeah.
When you have one person who is a stand-up person, they stand on something, you can't push them around, you can't just pimp them, and that ain't good for the pimping business. No. You know, like, yo, man, you gonna mess around and get some of these other people's ideas.
Exactly.
So we rather just, they'll call it split. Amicably.
Yeah.
Amicably, you know?
Yeah. And basically, that's how it went. And so, you know, 10 years was up. It was good, though. You know, open up a lot of doors, create a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it run its course, it's over. Right. And so we was cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool with it.
Man, you are the son of a pastor.
Grandson and great-grandson of pastors.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did everybody expect you to become a pastor?
For sure. Yeah,
And when you told them that you wanted to be a comedian, did you tell them you wanted to be a comedian, or that he just looked up one day and saw you telling jokes?
Yeah, they kind of looked up because I didn't even know I wanted to be a comedian. But what happened was, you know, my father, you know, he passed in 2009. Mm. And, you know, he would have loved for me to take over his church. It was right over there in the Overbrook edition of South Park, across Macau Railroad tracks, okay, off Belfort. And yeah, his probably dying wish was for me to take over that church. But God blocked it. You know, that's what I like to say. You know, I just, you know, man, I ain't never really want to be no pastor or, you know, nothing like that. I didn't want to go into, quote unquote, the family business.
Right.
But the jokes, they started coming around the same time. I was working at this church and—
Doing what?
I was a director of events. So what I would do when the marriage ministry wanted to have an event for the marriages, they would come to me and I would put it together. Same for the singles, same for the revival the pastor gonna have. I put the revival. I was the first cat with this March Gladness where we had a pastor come in and we announce him like it's a basketball game. He's from Indianapolis. That's he dope. Preaches at such church. He come down the aisle and they would have on they, you know, they sit his unit and, you know, yeah, just made church a little bit more fun.
Right.
And all that type of stuff. So I was just director, creative director of all that type of stuff. Whatever right. The church wanted to do, they would bring it to me. So I was hosting an event that I put together, a Christmas gala. And man, a lady there who owned a coffee shop, she thought I was a comedian. I had called the church and was like, yo, I want to speak to the comedian that hosted y'all Christmas day. And they was like, you don't have no comedian. She was like, yeah, the host. They was like, oh, you talking about Marcus.
Right.
He ain't no comedian. She was like, but he was funny. Can I get in touch with him? They gave him my number. Because actually I had put in my 2 weeks notice at this church. I was getting ready to leave. I mean, I was leaving. And I just stayed on to do my last little event that I had been working on. And so she reached out to me and was like, yo, I go on a coffee shop in Pearland and would love for you to come. You know, do our 1 year anniversary. And I was like, I ain't a comedian. And she was like, but you was funny. I was like, yeah, I'm funny to the people that know me, you know, at the church. And she was like, well, I had $500.
Oh, what time you need me to do that?
Now, when is it? Because at that time, I was probably only making, will it, $1,200 a month.
Right.
At the church. Now I make, she's trying to give me $500 Friday. I said, yeah, I ain't never been good at math, but I've been fantastic at money. So I said, yeah, this all right here. And so that's how I started right there.
Wow, that is an incredible story, man.
Muddy waters.
Because most of the time you hear about comedians, they say, well, you know, I first started, man, you know, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life. Yeah. And then, you know, one day I just went up and jumped on stage on Amateur Night. And, you know, I had 5 minutes and then I got booed and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, man, so you were kind of like, so you're—
I'm an anomaly.
Inadvertently.
Mm-hmm.
You're an inadvertent comedian.
Yeah. Watch this. Never done an open mic. I've never done that. I've started making $500. Most comics gonna tell you they started getting paid with drinks, weed.
And having to sell tickets.
Sex, or $25 gas money. I started my first comedy show $500.
Right.
And so, and that's good money to some comedians today.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? To get $500. Get started, So it was definitely, I felt God sent. You know what I'm saying? And so what happened, the reason why I'm clean, because the churches— I mean, the lady who owned the coffee shop, she wanted no cussing, no vulgarities. So I started clean. That attracted the churches that was coming in, buying up all the tickets, because they was using it for getaways for their particular ministries. By me being a church boy growing up in it, working at the church, I know church. Now, this is my lane. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so once I started seeing how profitable it was and I could see being successful in it, I stayed in it.
Now, once you had the $500 first time, the $500 is the bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you think after that, like, okay, I'm finna make $500 every single time I go out?
Yes.
Or more?
Yes.
And then you had to fall back.
Yes. So folks start counting, yeah, I got $250. Like $250?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely. Reality check come in now. They coming in because especially folk that's not in my lane. So when I started, and you know the comics here, Ali, Terry Gross, Dave, Keir, all these guys, we all kind of started around the same time. They were a little bit before me, but pretty much same time. Mm-hmm. We around the same age. So when I would pull them in to do shows, and I would give them money in my lane, in my world, and they would pull me. But their money wasn't the same as mine. I'm pulling them in, you know, I'm going, yo, here is, and this is back at back in that day, here is $500. Here $400. They pulling me, here's $100. Here's, I'm like, hey, I'm losing coming over here with y'all. I need to stay over here in my world.
God paying better.
God paying way better, y'all. People tithing over here. Shit. We getting tithes and offering over here. I don't know what's going on in y'all lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Explain to me, what is when the church meets the club? What's that about?
So I've done, I think, 16 projects. I've been doing comedy 20 years.
Yeah.
I think I got 16 projects that I've done in 20 years. And when the church met the club, I think that was maybe my fifth project. One of my favorites at that, because I feel like it's a thin line between the church and the club. So I'm a theme writer. So everything I write about, it got a theme to it. So it's a thin line between the church and the club. You got people who hang out at church like it's a club. You know, like my mom and my grandmother and them. That's their club. Even though it's church, it's their club. They just, everything they do is at the church. So you got folk who hang out at church like it's a club. And then you got folk who go to the club religiously. Okay? Mm-hmm. These people come every Friday, every Saturday. They in the club, you know. Men try to holler at women in the church and the club. Just the lingo is different. But men gonna try to shoot their shot regardless, you know. So it's just so many similarities with them both. And that's what that whole project was about. I was just exposing all the similarities of the church and the club in a funny way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you were doing that, were there any pastors when you would go in certain churches that felt kind of like funny about that? Like they look at you like, yo, man, we can't have you back. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, you know, because at that time, comedy was still a little taboo in church.
Right.
You know, so a lot of churches, especially traditional churches, they really wasn't feeling it. But I think because they knew my dad and grandfather and they trusted me, I wasn't coming in there to piss on their congregation. You know what I mean? I wasn't going in there to tear down anything that they have built up.
Right. So I think your reputation preceded you.
Yeah, I think I came in with a little trust. So they received my jokes maybe a little better. Plus, I know the Bible. You know, I know I would throw all that in my jokes. So they know, oh, he know Bible and stuff like that. And I think that's what helped me. And maybe not another comic who just coming out with jokes, but really don't have no foundation in the church in them, right, you know, type of thing.
Have you ever merged the church and the club and went too far? And somebody took exception to it?
Yeah, I mean, I done offended people, you know, because we living in that time now where...
So the church folks are offended.
What? I was at a church one time, Will. I'm in Dallas, and I was doing this joke about being straight, heterosexual. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about how, man, I just really found out how unpopular, out of style, heterosexual men are, right? I'm just going with my little progressions with the joke, and I'm saying, you know, we don't have any clothing line, you know, because I was in H&M and Macy's, they had Pride wear. Mm-hmm. We don't have a mascot, you know, anything, you know. The gay community, they got the rainbow. We don't have weekends and we don't have months. And, you know, I'm just saying we out of style. I'm not talking about the gay community. I'm talking about the heterosexual, how we out of style. We don't have nothing.
Right.
So anyway, I'm going to them in
the
church.
It's something that they ought to be proud of.
Come on.
Like, yeah, you know, we've arrived. They're at the bottom now. We're at the top.
So I'm doing my thing at the church. Man, I get off that stage. People loving it. I mean, because it's more to it now. But that's the basis of it. I get off that stage, man, this preacher coming to me. Hey, man, you need to go apologize. I said, apologize to, about what? You up there talking about gay people. I said, no, they not listening. I'm talking about straight people. I'm not talking about gay people.
Right.
He said, well, I'm getting text messages, you know, but you need to go apologize. I say, well, big dog, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not going up there and do no apologies because I ain't did nothing wrong. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it is what it is. So he was like, oh, yeah, okay. Because he wasn't the pastor of the church, but he was the pastor underneath, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he was the henchman.
Yeah, he was the henchman. See, church club is the same stuff.
Yeah.
And so I said, yeah, I ain't going to do no apology, though, because I am, you know, I would never maliciously come in somebody's church and try to, you know what I'm saying, like I say, tear anything down. But it is what it is. And I think he probably was gay, too, though, mm-hmm. I think. But anyway, I didn't do it. And so, you know, that was one time where, you know, they I ain't been back to that church since. You know, another joke I do about for by taking Hennessy and Honey Bun instead of the instead of grape juice and a cracker, I upgraded to Hennessy and a Honey Bun. You know, I do all this here. One chip, boy, they did not like that. Ooh, they were hot.
Now, what made them offended about that?
I don't know. And that's what I'm saying. What I try to do is let you know, man, it's regular, real people in the church. Stop with all the front. That's why folk be like, oh, church fake. Just, you could be regular. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. If you drink, you drink. I mean, you ain't going to hell because you drank, bro, and all that. So I just kind of come, you know, from that approach. But some churches, you know, they not ready to receive that. Yeah. You know, they just hear the word Hennessy. Oh, he talking about Hennessy. You know, you ain't connected the dots or nothing.
Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future.
Yes, sir. Yeah, look at you. Are you a pastor?
Yeah. I mean, you know, hey, man, I can pull it off every now and then.
Oh, I already know. I see you. I check you out.
That's all you got to do, just scream at them. They be scared. They'll do anything you tell them. But give me that money. Maybe. You remember that pastor that used to come on late at night,
yeah,
and scream?
From Darrow, Louisiana.
the forehead.
Yeah, God!
Man, I made the mistake of falling asleep one day with the TV on. And that fool came on and scared the hell out of me. I'm laying in the bed, it's all peaceful and itself, and all of a sudden I just say, God! Hell,
your mind was playing tricks on you. Had to get it off. Sorry.
Yeah, it was. This dude was like, God!
Yeah.
Sister, what are we doing? I'm gonna pray for you right now. Okay, I'm gonna pray for you right now.
Yeah.
What we gonna do? Yeah. God, I want you to send $35 to get your handkerchief.
Yep.
You know, $35 to get your prayer handkerchief. And what I'm gonna pray for you right now. God, help Sister Williams get this house and get a new job and also fix her car. God! Man, what the hell are you doing?
He thought that I wouldn't have nothing else to say.
Yeah, man.
He was getting money, though.
Yeah.
He was getting money. You know how I know? Because my grandmother, man, listen, you go to my grandmother's house, everything they sell on those inspirational, you know, things like that, my grandmother got them all. The holy water, the handkerchiefs, whatever. She got them. The sand from Jerusalem in a little box. She got them all. And I just be like,
Grandma said she ain't missing her blessings.
I say, Granny, you are.
I'm going to heaven. Yeah. I'm going to heaven.
She going to TV heaven. Man, man, come on, man. Yeah. So I know he was getting it, because if you up there, you advertising, you getting it. Yeah, you getting it for sure.
Say, man.
You getting it.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
How does one,
they get it.
How does one become holy and horny?
Okay. So how to live holy when you're horny.
Yeah, how to live.
So I looked up the word holy. It's another project. Horny. Horny means expecting, seeking sexual gratification. That's horny, seeking sexual gratification. So I looked at it, you know, play on words in church, how to live holy though when you're horny. So I use seeking blank gratification. A lot of people in church, they come every Sunday, they praying because they want stuff. They seeking stuff, whether it's they horny for money, horny for relationship, horny for a career, horny for whatever. And so my thing on it was, when you horny though, you don't hear straight, you know. Here it is. You don't hear straight. You know, I've been a teenage boy, college boy. I already know, you know, when I want it, I'm just trying. I just want the green lights. And so I was just saying, so how do you live holy when you're horny? Basically, the whole point was you got to kind of wait, you know, don't make a bad decision. A lot of people in life, I feel, have made some terrible decisions because they was horny, meaning they wanted it right then, you know. And even when I teach in class, that's what I try to tell my students and stuff like that. Avoid trying to get everything right now. You'll get it when you get it. But stop trying to do what it take or whatever you need to do to get it right now. I had the same opportunities, sell, you know. People think because you're in church, like you just don't know nobody. You know what I mean? I had opportunity to sell. Little weed, you know, make a little money, all the little scams they was doing in college. I was right there, could have did them all. But, you know, I was just like, nah, you know, I'm going to wait it out because I feel like, you know, I'm gonna get it when it's my time. And so the whole point of that through jokes was just, that's how you live holy, when you're horny, by waiting on him to open the door for you, opposed to you going out there making these moves, you know, that might be penitentiary chances.
Now, did the church receive that?
They did.
Yeah?
Some of them hung up. Now, don't get wrong. They get hung up on the words.
Right.
You horny, oh, Lord. I mean, some people, they going to be turned off just off rip, off the title. You know, but those that was coming to these shows, they received it, got it. You know what I'm saying?
But you couldn't just have a, you couldn't just jump in with that type of analogy in the middle of service.
No. These was comedy shows. Friday nights.
Comedy show.
Sunday nights at the church, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do church people pay better than the secular people?
In my lane. I mean, in for my, where I'm at in my career.
What you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think overall, no. But for where I am in my career, yes. You know.
Have they ever written you a hot check?
In 20 years, I have had two checks, I think, that didn't clear in 20 years.
Yeah.
And they fixed them. I mean,
okay.
So I ain't going to hold them. I ain't going to hold them. They made it right. But yeah, two bounce checks in 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often have they tried to get you to perform
for free?
As a service to the church.
Yeah, for free. Now that's all the
time. That's part of your ties.
No, yeah. Nah. Not at all. Because, see, sometimes people will call my office, and I might answer. You know, I answer. I take calls, too, you know.
Yeah.
No, nobody know how much I need to eat but me. And so I answer the phone, and I give them the fee, and they be like, oh, I thought you did this for the Lord. And I have to tell them, no, I don't do this for the Lord. He give me the ability to do it. I do this for mortgage. I do this for car notes, daycare. I don't do it for the Lord. The Lord give me the ability to do it, but no, I don't do it for him.
Mm-mm. He's sort of like an activist, man, because activists, they have to pay their bills too. I mean, they go out and they work and they service the people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they got children, they got mortgages, they got car notes.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to eat.
I got to eat.
You know, what do you expect them to do? Some people just trip me out. They just expect that because you are in the service industry, you're supposed to just do whatever you do for free.
For free.
But the trip part about it is that many of them are also in the service industry and they get paid. They ain't got no problem getting their check every week.
Every week.
Asking for it and raising hell about it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Man, how was it growing up in the household with your father, a pastor? How was that? And did you feel any pressure?
Man, my dad was, I tip my hat off to this because, you know, I do these preacher's kids conferences across the country. They had these preacher's kids conferences. Not for the kids, not for little kids, for people our age who still messed up by their upbringing, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go there, we talk and form, and they tell me, man, my mom and dad were so strict on me. They never let me do nothing. So once I got out that house, I just went, And so we have all this. And I didn't know it was that serious until I started doing these conferences. People still mad at their moms and dad, and they 40, 50 years old, still. And so for my experience, to answer your question, man, my dad was, he was 100. Man, my dad told me, he said, man, listen, I did not want to be no pastor. He was working for Specs Liquor. And he said he was enjoying liquor, working for Specs and making his money on the side. Because I think he was probably stealing. Right. He was bootlegging some of Specs Liquor out of his trunk when he leave work. So he said he was living it up. But then he said he got the call. You know how black people call it. Got the call. His life kept being, you know. So boom, he joined this church and he was associate minister at the church for a little while, still working at Specs. And then he started preaching across Houston. And then one of the churches, they was like, yo, we like your style, swag, your word, whatever, and we want you to be the pastor. And so my dad said he had to let the Specs go. And then he became the pastor, you know, of that church. But he was like, but he never wanted to do it. And so he would tell me, so look, unfortunately, you my son, and I can't get the other. Yeah, that's what he said.
That's a hell of a way to start off a conversation. Unfortunately,
you my son. So I can't get the other kids at the church to do stuff if my son don't do it. So you got to be like the leader. So I've been like a leader all my life. Like he just told me, you got to lead.
Mm.
I mean, you got to be the leader. And so this is how we get paid. I mean, this is the family business. Mm-hmm. So at church, man, I was always the, you know, when we had Sunday school and vacation Bible school and all that type of stuff, I would always have to be the one to get up when they say, hey, what did y'all learn in this high school class? I couldn't just sit there willing, like, man, what y'all learn? I always had to be the one to get up. Hey, well, what we learned today about, you know, to lead it off and then people follow suit. And so I've always been like, you know, and like I say, even though it was maybe not fair, he explained it to me so clear. It wasn't like, you got to do this. You know, it wasn't done to me like that. It was explained to me. And so I never really had a problem with it.
So you never felt pressure?
Never felt pressure. I've always been a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And I mean that from, I was a celebrity in the church first. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
you know what, man?
That's what I mean.
I'm glad you mentioned that because pastors' children, the children of the pastor are celebrities.
You're a celebrity.
People like, oh, that's the pastor's son. That's
you can't do nothing.
Son.
You got to, listen. The reason why they flip so like for instance, if I would come around somewhere and boy smoking weed, they, I was, oh, here go Marcus. Boy, your daddy kill you. You know your daddy kill you smoke. Nah, because I was a leader and I ain't really didn't even want it. I was like, yeah, he probably would, but I don't want smoke. But other preachers' kids, they want to show them that they are regular too.
Right.
So now bypass the weed. Y'all still on weed? Where the cocaine at? Because they want to show I'm not only am I regular, but I'm way better or way worse than you, you know? And so they always go the extra mile to try to be normal,
right.
You know? And that was what a lot of preachers' kids suffered from. Now, preachers' daughters loved them because they always were trying to get back to their parents, always.
Preacher's daughter.
Love the preacher's daughters.
Ain't that amazing how that works out, man?
Yeah.
Like, you got a father
mm-hmm.
who's in the house with you. You got your mother in the house with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, giving you these values and they giving you a good home,
yeah.
and a lifestyle and all this stuff. And all mm-hmm. you got to do is just basically follow some rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not act slutty.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
Well, that's a good word.
And you decide, you know what? I want to be slutty. You know, like I don't want to do all these things. And I think what happens a lot of times is that these pastors, they try to make their daughters perfect.
For sure. Oh, it's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure for anyone to be perfect.
Anybody,
because because none of us are perfect, and we'll never be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen a few pastors, including my best friend, who did it the right way.
Okay,
you got to give them a certain amount of latitude
for sure.
as they go along and as they age, you know, and they got to have a little bit of freedom. You cannot just lock those kids up, man. And expect them to do everything right.
If you hear them stories from them preachers' kids' conferences, how they couldn't listen to secular music, couldn't go to the movies. You know, see all this, I didn't have no problem with these type of things.
Couldn't even have friends.
Yeah, some of them, friends might can't be over there, all that. See, I never experienced that. So that's why I never felt any unwanted or unviewed pressure on me. Because, you know, I still play ball at Willow Ridge and, you know, I was still just a regular guy. They just told me, the whole theme at my house, if you're not the leader, you can't go. Nah. That's it. Because my mama, she like, hey, if I get a phone call in the middle of the night, you out, and they say, yeah, one of your partners has something on them and all that type of stuff, I don't care nothing about your partner. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to your dome. That's just how it was. So for me, everything was, if you ain't the leader, you can't go. But I could go. That's what I'm saying. It's just that, but you be the leader when you go. So that was my whole little thing.
What was it like walking the halls of Willow Ridge High School?
Well, I'm sure you've heard, Willie. It's It's the first HBCU I've ever attended. Before I know anything about historically black colleges and universities, Willow Ridge was that, man. It was the greatest high school. I know they catch a lot of flack and they not what we used to be back then. But back when I graduated, I came out in 91. But when I got there, man, it was just great, man. Class and character was what they taught. To see all these black folk, black teachers, everybody just, you know, pouring love and support into you. You know, your friends and then your peers was all, you know, good. Of course, you had fights. It's not regular school, but it was a real good family environment.
You ever had a fight in school?
I've never had a fight in life.
Really?
Never.
My son has never had a fight, but I'm proud of that though. Because you know? here's the thing, man. You know, like I've had enough fights.
Yeah. For everybody.
For several lifetimes and several people, right? But I think about today, like, you have a fight today, you might not make it out.
You might not make it out. Now, that's true.
No, you might not make it, bro.
Yeah, like, back then it was just fighting.
Yeah, it'd be a fight. I mean, you know, you take your lumps or whatever and you brush it off.
Yeah.
You know, you go on about your business, but you live, you walked away, you know? Mm-hmm. Now these kids, man, they pulling out guns, man. And
like it's a video game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they don't get the concept that, man, this is forever. Once that bullet leave that chamber, it's forever.
Yeah.
That's a permanent decision.
For sure. Yeah. Never had a fight. Nah, that don't mean I wasn't supposed to. And plus I had guys who, when I would talk that talk, you know, then they'll come in. Oh, he don't fight, but I do.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, what's up? And I just be lying, like, you know.
Right.
But yeah, but I try not to start him either, though, because I know I'm not fighting. Yeah. And I don't want to put my guys in no harm's way. But, you know, when you play sports, sometimes guys, you know, they gonna just, you know, we talking, hooping, and I could talk with the best of them.
Yeah.
But now they want to fight. And I didn't know we was fighting. I just thought we were just talking.
Now,
you know.
Now, were you the kind that when you win, you rub it in, or you wait to, or did they have to say something first?
No. I was nice with it, Willie. So the thing about it is, I don't really talk noise until the noise starts, until it comes.
You're right. Okay.
Now, I'm going to, again, my mouthpiece been on 10 since a kid.
$1 million worth of cash.
Yeah. So I'm not even, so whatever you talking about, it's going to be worse now. So, and you know, now I'm winning and talking. And so now they want to get aggressive. They want to push in, you know, try to make you want to fight. And I'm like, man, I'm not fighting. Like, I already know I ain't fighting. I'm just talking.
Right.
But then when they get to the point, I may push you. Yeah, what's up, though? Nah. Well, now here come the boys, you know. So it's a, because I wouldn't even talk if the boys were not there. Now, the boys are not there. I'm super silent.
That's what Ja Morant needs. He needs a couple of boys hanging around him so that he don't have to flash guns.
Oh, man.
Feel afraid.
I don't even understand that. I'm still trying to understand that to this day.
If you were Ja Morant's father,
I wouldn't be sitting courtside without my wife. That's what if I was Ja Morant's father. So aesthetically, it don't look good. You know, just, I would, man.
His parents are still together?
Yes. And so what I'm trying to say is I ain't judging. I'm just sharing. I'm telling my partners aesthetically, it don't look good. It just don't. I'm not going to live vicariously through my son. I'm going to be proud of my son. I'm going to sit in, I'm going to be up in the stands, or I'm going to be up in the suite, because that's really where I want to be eating, have me a little cocktail.
Those suites are nice, huh?
Yeah.
Especially when the food good.
When the food good.
That's
you already
some seafood
know.
Up in there,
yes,
boy.
Sir. I'm chilling.
Yeah.
And just that I'm not going to be courtside acting like I know how everybody kicking head, kicking without my wife sometimes. And this is what I shared with my boys. The Curry family was going through a divorce. We had no clue because they were showing up to the games together the whole time. You remember? You know what I'm talking about?
The father.
I'm talking about the father and the mama.
The father and the mama.
They be right there with each other.
Yeah.
We had no clue that they was separating and none of this type of stuff. Because it's just not a good look. And to my knowledge, you know, they together. And so, man, you mean to tell me mama don't want to come to none of the big games? I want to be at none of them? So, yeah. But if I'm his father, not that father, but if I'm his father, yeah, I don't think it even get that far because I don't think you can check your kid when you like your kid.
Explain that.
So he's kind of aesthetically, I don't know him, but he's kind of like a homie. It looked like he's the homie with his son.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to remain father. So, because I'm going to always want to be able to jack you up and you know, and say what I want to say and have the same respect and you're going to respect me. But when I've been kicking it with you, hanging out with you, partying with you and all this here, I don't think I can say nothing to you.
And men, you know, parents, period, we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with being a parent.
Yeah.
Just we have to be okay with being a parent being the role that we're good for, and
yeah.
That's it. It's like, I got, being a parent, I told my son this, and I've told my daughter the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like my role. I'm your daddy.
Yeah.
You ain't getting another one.
Yeah.
I brought you here. Can't nobody compete with me. I'm in a unique position.
Right.
Can't nobody touch this.
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah.
I'm daddy. You know what I'm saying? So you can go get a bunch of friends, and you can go find a friend today. You can't go find another daddy today.
No, you can't.
You know, you can't do that.
At all.
I'm in a unique position, and I like being in unique positions.
Mm.
So I have a very unique position and a special set of skills, as that dude said. Had a special set of skills,
that
baby.
Special set.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I would rather, if I got a choice to be your friend or your father, I'd rather be your father.
I'll be your father.
Right?
Yeah.
Now if we can be friends,
yeah.
In addition to me being your father,
sure.
Hey, I take that.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And actually, began to happen later on
yeah, yeah.
As the kids got a little older.
Yeah.
But initially, I was like, I'm daddy.
I'm dad.
And this is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And look, I'm the father.
Mm-hmm.
You're the son.
Mm-hmm.
If I start acting like the son, it ain't going to work.
It ain't going to work.
If you start acting like the father, it ain't going to work. And so
yeah.
I'm clear with my position with my kids.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I'm daddy. And then anything after that, that's what they call it, lanyard. That's extra.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But man, these parents got to get back to being okay with being a parent first.
Because all the great stuff I've heard about Jai's father, how he built the stuff in the backyard to make him the great player he has become today.
Mm-hmm.
Man, his daddy has been superb. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So this ain't no shade on his daddy. His daddy has been excellent. But now he's at a level now to where he still need his daddy. But not in a different type of way. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
He needs that in a different type of way. And man, I just don't know. I just know, just for me, and again, I'm able to look at it from a distance. But I just know, I'm not going to be, you know, courtside with the shades. This is my son. This is my son's world. He's making the money now. Yes, I helped him get here and all that, pushed him, whatever. But this his world. I'm finna go up here in this suite, and I'm looking because I'm trying to see who's trying to ruin my son's world.
Well, whatever they got going on, I hate to say it, bro, but it's too late because he's been conditioned. He's 23, 24 years old now.
Yeah.
And whatever their relationship has been,
mm-hmm.
is what it's going to be.
You think that?
In terms of the respect level.
I got you.
Think about your own family, you know, like whatever level of respect that you had as a teenager, you probably have the same respect right now.
Yeah.
If you didn't respect them then, you probably don't respect them now.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're saying.
If you respected them then, you probably respect them now. If you had an uncle or aunt who, you know, that was close to you in age or they, you know, behave like you or they went to the same places and y'all hung out and y'all had conversations that were on the same age group level,
mm-hmm.
y'all probably have that same exact type of chemistry today. You know, you're probably having the same kind of conversation. You probably look at that person the same way as you know, as opposed to that aunt or that uncle that you've always revered as your elder.
Like, yeah.
Oh man, I got to be on my best behavior when I come around him or her.
Oh, for sure, for
sure.
Because
that, you know, that's Aunt Peck.
That's,
you know what
funny.
I'm saying? That's Uncle Bubba, you know?
That's funny. You say that. Me and Ali was, we traveled together from time to time. I rode with him, do some clubs when I'm not booked. And we were in Arlington. And his Aunt Eunice came to the show. I had heard about Aunt Eunice.
Mm-hmm.
But man, when she came to this show, this boy Ali did no cussing this show. He did a whole show, no cussing, all this here.
Shout out to Ali Sadiq,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Sadiq, that's my boy.
My dog.
That boy said,
yeah.
I said, man, you ain't cussing that. Man, my Aunt Eunice over there. I said, oh, yeah. I know who to call now.
Yeah.
When it's time to put you in check. Yeah, I know who to call. That boy scared his Aunt Eunice. Yeah. Oh, she and she got a presence about her, too, when she walked in. Like, yeah, let me see what this foolishness is about up in here. Yeah. Yeah. So now you're right when you say that.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I want to go back, man, and give you your flowers, bro, about, you know, for being a trendsetter in that space, in that gospel space. That,
I appreciate it.
Do you consider yourself a gospel comedian or a Christian comedian? What?
Neither.
What is it? Neither.
I'm just a comedian.
Spiritual?
Neither. I'm just a comedian.
Holy?
Neither.
Okay.
I'm just a comedian.
I'm trying to get you a title, man.
I don't want it. That's what I'm saying. Because here's the thing. I'm a comedian that happens to be a Christian.
Okay.
I still do the clubs. I do everything that come with a check. Do you know I performed at strip clubs before? People always ask, man, I done did divorce parties. I done did all type of parties.
Okay.
I mean, all type of things,
yeah.
You know, because that's just what happened. So I'm a comedian that happens to be a Christian. Reason why I say that, people like to give you a title.
Mm.
But it's a bunch of Christians out here, Willie, that don't put the title on their occupation. Like it ain't no Christian pest control
drivers.
Company.
You know,
they might be Christian, but damn.
Right.
Yeah, they don't throw it on their title. And then, of course, the Bible say, you know, you'll know the tree by the fruit.
Mm.
So I ain't got to keep putting in your face, I'm Christian. I mean, you'll see it in my show or you'll hear it in my talk and, you know, whatever. You know, so I don't really like, you know, the title. But people will give it to you because sometimes they need it for them to cut that check.
Mm.
So some churches might be, now, what type of comedian is it? Is he a Christian comedian? And be like, yeah, okay. And if they say, okay, well, yeah, if I'm a Christian, you got to cut the check that way, go ahead. But I'm just a comedian, bro.
But in that space, bro, you have ruled. I mean,
yeah,
like, because I don't remember a comedian in that space before you.
Mm.
I just don't. And I'm sure that's probably somebody been out there or whatever, but I just don't remember.
Yeah, I'm going to give you some. It's, you know, Jonathan Slocum.
I don't.
Yeah, you do. You remember Steve Harvey's sitcom?
Yeah.
And he was one of his band members. His name was Clyde. He was always like, he forgetful. But anyway, he was one, because these are the ones that I saw before I came.
Okay.
Slocum, guy named Broderick Rice. He was really big. He very talented too. And then this lady, her name Trina Jeffries, but she go by Sister Cantaloupe. She does a character on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the three people that I saw in this lane when I started, because I had to go do a little research to kind of see, you know, what it is. And then when I saw them, I probably bought their VHSs, watched them, and then I realized, oh, yeah, I can do this here. And then I put my own, but with my own way, though.
But and in fairness to them, you know, it ain't like I be going to church.
Yeah.
Like I would, like, actually see them, you know.
but they really wasn't seen. That's another thing. That's what I mean. Like, the lane I'm in, and maybe it's just changing now with the social media, but it's not a lane of where you're going to get a lot of flowers and praise and adoration. But it is a lane where you will live nice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because churches always got functions.
They always got,
they celebrating something.
They celebrate
Pastor Day, Pastor Anniversary
everything.
Day.
Yeah.
New Fun Day, Old Fun Day.
Yeah, it's always something.
Wednesday.
Right.
Bible study,
right.
Appreciation Day.
So it's a lot of stuff. You
First
just,
Lady Day.
You just got to be tapped in.
First Lady Best Friend Day. I mean, they got it.
Well,
they got
it.
They got a celebration.
Second Lady Day.
Man, they got, exactly. what they got, Side Piece Day. Boy, man, what if they had a Pastor Side Piece Day?
Ooh, that'll be tough. I don't want to perform at it either. It's gonna be a little. It's going to be some violence at that particular one. Yeah, I don't want to perform at it. But yeah, man. So yeah, so if you're looking for a lot of oohs and ahs and maybe being on TV and all that, you know, highly unlikely.
We get the oohs and ahs, maybe not television. Not necessarily television.
Well, not television and all that. Right, right. But will you live nice and you know, maybe under the radar with it? And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah
you good.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm grown. So at some point, of course, I'm like everybody else. You want the movies and the sitcoms and all that. But then after a while, you know, you just be like, man, shoot, God been real kind to me. So I'm just going to enjoy it and ride it out. You know what I mean?
Do you still put yourself out there for the movies and the sitcoms?
Not really. I don't. I can't even lie. I don't. I just,
You don't do any auditions?
Go I don't do any auditions. The last audition I probably did was for this HBO or the Showtime series, and I did it on my phone. They wanted you to do the thing on your phone. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, I'm not into this. I'm not into any other new thing. No knock on it. Because if had it came out when I was in college, high school, oh, I'd be on it. I'm just grown now. I mean, and what I mean by grown, I'm stuck in my ways. You know what I mean? And I know I am. So this ain't no, again, I ain't knocking the new way. I like my ways.
How many boys do you have?
One boy, one girl.
A boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. Now, do you sometimes have to, like, give your kids a second type look or something when you're letting them know you're being serious since dad is a comedian? Like, do the wires ever get crossed?
Sometime. My son 15, he about to be 16. Well, he'll be 16 in November. He pretty much, you know, man, he a good little kid. He a cool little kid. So I can't really say I even have really problems with. Every now and then I got to put the foot down, but he understand that. His mama is probably, she worse. Like I'm.
She's the disciplinarian.
Yeah. Like she the disciplinarian. Yeah. But I talk to the kids more. I mean, hey man, let me holler at you, bro. You know, that's what I'm doing. She just, if she find out he watching porn, I'm going to kill him. And I have to say, hey, slow down. Back in my day, we didn't have Pornhub. But we had Playboy, we had Penthouse, we had Hustler, you know. It was VHS tapes. Somebody daddy had it. I said, yeah. So she'd be like, so you was looking at this stuff? Yeah, man, I'm a boy. That's what boys do. Right. You know, yeah. I say, calm down. Let me go holler at him. And so I go up there and joke with it, but also bring my point home, you know, and all that type of stuff. And so, but the little girl, she only 5. But she the... You know, I ain't gonna even lie. She got me.
I know she do.
Yeah, she fine. She got me. Yeah. Anything they tell at that house, she come to me. Daddy, can I? Huh. Man, go on in there and get it, man. I ain't tripping.
Knowing what you know about boys,
mm-hmm.
Does it scare you sometimes about raising her and what she might have to experience with boys?
It don't scare me, but so I already told my wife, you know, this girl is going to be like a project for me. I'm going to try to do something that I haven't seen people do yet, that I haven't seen. And I think people don't do it. I ain't seen it. So when my daughter get 13, I'm going to put a ring on her finger.
And what is the significance of putting a ring on her finger?
I'm
going to
put the ring on. I'm going to say, listen, this ring that I'm putting on your finger, it's me letting you know, whatever you need, whatever you want, da-da-da-da-da, your daddy got it. You ain't got to seek it from nobody else. I got it. And then when you find you a man who gonna do everything what your daddy do, you give me my ring back and you take his ring. Now, that's what I'm gonna tell her. Now, other things growing up, I ain't gonna do a whole lot of chest time. So let's say if she wearing something I think is trampish, I'm going to go, this what you wearing? Ugh. Yeah. Back in my day, we run through girls like you. I want to try this. Yeah, we go, yeah, run through. Yeah, we look at a girl like this and be like, yeah, I'm gonna get that, knock that down. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell, but come on, let's go. This is what you want to wear. Let's go. You know, instead of, take that off. I'm not going to do that. Hopefully I have a relationship with her where, you know, she be like, damn, man, my dad don't like what I got on. And even if she's still wear it, it's just, man, my dad don't really like this. So I ain't going to probably wear it no more. I mean, you know, this ain't going to be my thing. But I ain't going to never tell her, don't wear it or just whatever. Again, it's a project. We'll see. We older parents. We ain't, like, I'm not 20 and 30 no more. I'm 50. So I ain't finna, I can't, I don't even have the energy to do what a 30-year-old parent would do to somebody young like this here. So now I'm gonna try my way. Hopefully my wife gonna let me do it. But
you know what's a good strategy is the same strategy your dad used and your mom used on you.
Okay.
Leader.
Leader, for sure.
Be a leader.
I do my to my son for sure.
Yeah, because that's the same strategy I use with my kids.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
be
like,
the leader.
And you're absolutely right about that not overreacting thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what a lot of fathers end up doing.
For sure.
And then the daughter ends up rebelling. They say the wrong thing, stuff come out, man. And then sometimes when it does come out wrong, they're too proud to go and apologize, they're wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's actually a secret weapon for parents, in my opinion.
Hmm.
The ability to apologize to their children when they're wrong.
Hmm.
Because we don't have all the answers.
We don't.
Yeah. But a lot of times parents, you know, we operate under a system of do as I say, not as I do.
I was under that system.
yeah. But we really do have to lead by example.
Yeah.
And if we want our kids to be good communicators in the world, then we have to be a good communicator.
For sure.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But, communication
but, you know,
is key.
Yeah. But I mean, you're a comedian, so you know.
It's key.
yeah.
It's key. But you know what you're talking about.
But I'm proud of you for saying that though, man, because a lot of fathers, they're just not like in tune like that.
Hmm.
You know, they're not thinking like that far in advance.
Yeah.
Now, how would you handle your son? How are you handling your son as far as like how he communicate with girls?
Yeah. So I remember, crazy. My wife, you know, she go through my son's phone. You know, she got everything to her phone, everything. Woo, woo. Mm-hmm. So my son was like, man, why she be going through my phone? And I was like, yeah. She got to trust you first. So. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had a few bouts with that too, but I don't have that problem no more. But anyway, but I told him, I said, yeah, man, your mama gonna check your phone and stuff because you young and dumb. And this is how I talked to her. Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, you young and dumb. And so she gonna be checking it. So anyway, she go on the phone one time, saw he cussing. So she was like, and I used to tell her, yeah, you know your son cuss.
Yeah.
Not my son. All right, man. So anyway, she finally cussed. So my wife was like, yeah, I'm gonna kill him. I said, now wait till I get home. I was out of town. Wait till I get home. So we get home. And with my son, he know, Willie, if you tell me the truth, I can help you. But if you lie to me, I can't do nothing for you, man. And I don't want to do nothing for you. Because you don't never should have to lie to me, no matter how bad it is. You never got to lie to me. Because I'm your, like you were saying earlier, I'm your daddy. I'm here. I'm here to cover you, to help you. This is what I'm here for. So I don't care how bad it is. You never got to lie to me. So my son, he kind of got that down pretty good. So we get home from school. And that boy come in there, what's up, dad? I was out of town. He out hype. And me and his mama sitting there. And then he was like, what up, mama? You know, he got personality too. He like, what's up, mama? You good? All that. I said, say, man, let me ask you a question. He's like, what's up, dad? I said, do you cuss? That boy looked at his mama. Boy looked back at me and was like, yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah. Why does that boy say, yeah? Mom about to get up. I said, man, shut up. Because you never want to ask your kid for the truth and then they give you the truth. And then the first thing you want to do is go upside their head.
Because
now you kind of, you know, mess up them telling the truth, you know, for next time.
Now they don't trust you?
They don't trust you now.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, chill out. Told the mama, chill out. So I said, bro, I said, why you cuss? He said, dad, I don't even know. Trying to be cool, I guess. I don't even have to cuss. The mother do have to. I don't even got to do it. It was a great answer for me. I was like, yes, that's a pretty good answer. But I said, but listen, my problem is, it's not about you cussing. It's me. You shouldn't cuss, but that ain't my problem. My problem is how you was talking to this girl on this text message. Because he was talking to a girl. You know, he said a few things. I said, so what's up with that? He was like, man, dad, this girl, she be blah, 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 blah. She always. I said, hey, man, typically y'all age, a girl typically likes you if she's like this. He, huh? I'm like, yeah, girls that's bothering you and picking on you or whatever that you're saying right now, typically they like you at this age. I say, so, man, what you just need to do, dog, come on. You got to tell her, hey, what's up? Do you like me or something? Is that why you always on? I say, don't lose your personality that you have when it's time now to talk to this girl. Why are you letting her get you out of you and you now you cussing and all this here? Keep your same personality. I say, do you see me cussing out your mama? And you know, all this here, I still use my same wit, joke game, everything when I'm talking to your mama. And so he was like, you know, I get it. So I just try to, you know, have him, you know, just showing him that there's other ways. You ain't got to, cause you mad no girl. And just cause everybody else calling them bees and whatnot, you ain't got to fall in suit, you know, with that, you know, so.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah. I remember the same time that, the first time I witnessed my son cussing.
Yeah.
I read his, what do they call that? Like one of those messages on MSN.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Computer.
Yeah.
Boy, that boy was cussing his ass.
Oh, they know how to cuss good, don't they?
I had never heard him cuss before. I had never known him to cuss. Never heard anything, right?
Yeah.
And he's like 12, 13.
Yeah, that's my son. He was same age. Yeah.
Cussing his ass off.
Cuss well.
Yeah. I was like, damn,
then.
But I had to catch myself. I said, boy, that boy, he learned from the best, man.
Yes,
I was like, well, he learned from the best.
Yeah.
And I don't even think he know that I, well, he'll know now.
Yeah.
But I never even told
him brought it up.
That I knew.
Mm.
But I think I may have, I had these little inadvertent conversations mm-hmm. with him. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when I know something or whatever.
Yeah.
And just, so I probably came up to him and said, hey, you know, when you cuss, yeah. you know, I probably seen somebody else cuss or something yeah. like that. Or heard some, you know, people cuss when they don't have anything Thanks. Else to say. When they don't have any other words,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I probably see yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So I hit them like that a lot mm-hmm. of times. But anyway, man. Yeah. Man, I want to ask you this, man, before you get out of here. You've done a lot of things in your career. You've had a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
You've received a lot of praise. Mm-hmm. You know, outside of family,
mm-hmm.
is there anything else that you want out of your career?
That's a good question. And the crazy part, when people ask me that question, I don't even know, will it? Man, all I ever wanted to do in life was be successful. And whatever that looked like, that don't mean comedy. I just want to be able, man, I wanted good credit. You know, I was very simple. I wanted good credit. You know what I'm saying? Of course, got my family. I want to be able to go on family vacation at least once a year. You know, me and my boys, we can go to catch some games, you know, stuff like that. I'm a real simple cat. And so now that I'm able to do these things, it's almost like I got a dream again. Like, because this has been done. This has been sustained, or you know, and now I don't even know, man. I just get up. I just go to work. You know, I want to eat stuff. I want to eat from every lip of the menu. You know, is that because I just remember when I was in college, I take a girl out. I just appetizers. I couldn't. I wasn't no sense even flipping the menu more. You just flip it one time, okay, sister. We right here. You don't you dare flip another, another page. We right here. That's wings. That's tenders. You know what I'm saying? That's calamari. We right here. And so, I just wanted that, man. I want to go out with my boys and say I got it. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know, man. I'm trying to find out, you know, what's next. I mean, I'm doing the comedy, and comedy going. It's going well still. And but yeah, I don't know, man. I got a dream again.
Yeah.
That's the only answer I could really give without making up something lying to you.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you got it, man, and thank God you gave it to us, bro.
Appreciate it. But hold on, I want to tell you this. Do you remember one time you called me? You was about to do a comedy show or something. This was before the pandemic. This was probably 2016 or something. I don't know. It was just a while ago. Mm-hmm. But watch this. At that time, I know of you. I don't know you. And you called just out the blue. Yeah, I'm looking for Marcus Wiley. I see it. Yeah, that's me. You like, yeah, this Willie D. And I said, the Willie D? And you was like, yeah. I said, I make big money. I drive big cars, Willie D. And you was like, yeah. And so your reputation, people like, yeah, Willie don't play. You know, Willie. I was like, man, I thought that was funny. But you only hit me with the, yeah. I was like, oh. Well, yeah, this Marcus, I got serious on. Yeah, this is me. Yeah, but you were trying to put together something. I said, oh yeah. Boy, that was so funny to me.
Yeah, I remember that because you were already booked for something.
Yeah, I was booked. Yeah, I had something going on. Right. Yeah. Boy, but that, I said, I make big money. I drive big cars. What are you talking about? Yeah. I said, whoa. I thought that was gonna get a little bit more laughter than that.
Well, look, man, better late than never.
For sure. You know, I appreciate
you're getting
it.
Getting the laughter now.
I appreciate it. And when I told my wife I was coming to your podcast, she talking about the cleanup man.
Till I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me, man. Thank you. Thanks
no more talk.
This episode was produced by A. King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
AT&T connects and odes to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody, rugged, resilient, and timeless.